Welcome to the Pinecast. Joining me today, we're having a back-to-back week show. We're here with me again is Mark. You can follow him on Twitter at Canino. What's
88,
right?
Yeah.
Canino88.
C-U-N-N-I-N-H-O 88.
So we're making our glorious and certainly a little bit more sober return this week.
Only a little, though.
Joining us with just as much amusement, though, as last week is Joseph. You can follow him on Twitter at I Hate Your Club. And it's good to have you gentlemen back this week. We had a lot of fun last week. It's been quite the weekend of the Premier League, you know. Certainly, the narrative, I mean, you couldn't write it any better, right?
A turnaround of results.
I mean, there was plenty of drama, you know.
It was a perfect weekend for Arsenal.
And it was absolutely perfect.
And it happens maybe once a year, so I'm not expecting it again. So yeah, like, I'm going
to
enjoy
you can
it.
You can never like expect it, because it's just like to ask for all the results to go your way is just a bit too much. You know, like you hope for like 3 out of 5, 2 out of 4, you know. Like as long as one of them lost this weekend, it's not a nightmare. And if you can get a couple of them to lose, if you get for an Arsenal fan, if United and Chelsea both lose in a weekend, that's a damn good weekend, you know. If
I think
you
the
can
same
get
goes
where
for any other
yeah,
of the
for,
top
for
teams,
any
yeah.
any of the top teams, it goes for whoever you support. If you can have a couple of those teams lose in the weekend, it's good. Mm-hmm. You know, those weekends when you're the team that didn't get the win, and then the other competitors for the top four win, you feel like absolute dog shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a terrible feeling. it really does, right? Like, oh, you know, like, oh. Which,
are you,
you know,
kicking? Sure. Are you physically kicking him and
no,
verbally kicking him?
No, I'm actually not tormenting him specifically in this way at all. It's just saying, because it's not like that's not what the case is for United this week. Arsenal are the only team who won. Like, they're pretty happy, actually,
it's
because,
true.
You know, like, they didn't lose any ground on. I mean, so like, I have 1 point for Chelsea and City, mm-hmm. but you'll take that.
Yes. That was the result I wanted.
Yeah, and then really, like, who they need to look at. Like, I mean, let's be perfectly honest right now. United are looking at primarily Everton, Liverpool, Arsenal, mm-hmm. You know, to a slight lesser extent, but absolutely for sure with in terms of rounding out the fourth place, Liverpool and Everton absolutely are who you would consider.
Spurs.
And Spurs.
Yeah.
And so in that race, you know, United didn't lose any ground in those teams because they all lost.
Right. This was the perfect week to get, if there is ever a thing, it was the perfect week to have a complete and total meltdown.
Well, so we'll get to the meltdown in a bit. So we'll stay with what happened on Saturday. So, yeah, Liverpool lost.
Yeah.
At Upton Park. Mm-hmm. To the mighty West Ham.
In their defense, they do have Enner Valencia now, who is tearing up that.
Who line. Is lighting it up? Who yeah. has come in and hasn't, you know, the old stereotype of, you know, the South American player is going to take him a while to get acclimated and all that. It's, mm-hmm. it's you know, that he's bypassed that, you'd say, and has had a really bright start to his career in England.
Absolutely.
Joseph, you have any thoughts on that Liverpool match?
Apart from it being awesome.
Other than it being awesome and every week a different excuse for Rodgers to come out with his shiny big teeth.
They're scary.
Yeah, and but no, I think it's perfect. You know, I'm glad it's taking them a while to gel. I they'll get better, but I'm enjoying it for as long as it'll last, and I hope you know, these when these Champions League, we're really starting to get into group stages, hopefully they'll feel the hurt even more. They have a defensive problem, you know. It's the same them and
Lovren hasn't solved it. You know, I'm not saying he's a terrible defender or anything. I'm not saying
no,
anything
he's
at
not.
All.
He's but he's got to get used to his new partners. I mean, that's just going to take time.
Fantasy wise, I put my faith in him week in week out, and it's not really working out for me.
I wouldn't think it would.
But I honestly believe in him enough that maybe towards the second half of the season he'll be a good prudent purchase at the beginning.
I suppose. I mean, I guess you're going to ride with them. So
I mean, I've been riding on Diego Costa for the last several weeks.
Yeah,
and that's
if I
out.
Didn't play in a no cunt league, it would have, you know, that would work for me. But I Joseph and I are both in a league where you can't have any players from other teams in the top four, just
right.
because, you know, just so we can't be celebrating Didier Drogba goals and stuff like that. You know, like, this is, you know, no one can have Robin Van Persie. That's just out. You know, that's
well, you can this season.
Oh yeah, because they're not in top four. They're not in top four. So for the first time ever, actually, in our league, I didn't even think about that. But
people
yeah,
have Man U players.
Well, I guess it's allowed because the thing is, back when it was the traditional top four, it was just like it was those teams. Mm-hmm. But the rule was technically top four,
right?
But still, I mean, like even when Tottenham are out of it, I never have a Tottenham player, you know, and I never had.
I don't have it, but I do have a United player. So
you have a United player this year?
I do.
Who is it?
I'm out to win, but he has done absolutely nothing. So I'm going to keep him in my. I'm going to keep him in my squad for the rest of the year and hope he does nothing. It's Rooney. I thought he'd score against Leicester.
That is fucking disgusting.
I thought he'd score against Leicester.
I can't believe you.
Rooney's not good for me.
What do I care? I rode Suarez for 2 years. I don't care. I have
true.
No morals
yeah,
in
yeah, you're
fantasy
right.
football.
Yeah,
that's true. They go out the window.
Yeah, you're a numbers guy, Joseph. I understand your ruthlessness there.
But
I'm trying to catch up to someone. I'm trying to catch up to someone.
Oh shit!
But I think back to Liverpool, there might be just a little too much reliance on Raheem Sterling on that team.
Well, especially with
Sturridge out, I think that's really where it is.
Well, that's what we're really seeing. I mean, look, Sturridge. What was their final goal tally? They hit 50. Did they get more than 50? They got like 50 or 51. I forget what it was.
I know they hit
50 goals between Suarez and Sturridge.
Yeah,
and like take that out of any team. You're going to take, you know, that's a huge,
you're
going to
lose
hit.
A lot of points.
It doesn't matter who you bring in. And then they brought in Balotelli, but Balotelli has never yet been a prolific goal scorer.
No.
Right. He's going to get to 15.
A scorer of great goals.
Yeah.
And lots of talent, but he's also a very different striker to both Suarez and Sturridge. You know, right. He's a more traditional number nine. I mean, even though he can make the runs in behind, it's not about his movement. It's more as a target guy up there.
Right.
Which is a very different system than what they were doing with Suarez and also with Sturridge.
Are you thinking they're expecting to move Suarez? Suarez.
Suarez.
Suarez. That's that was the combo. But Sturridge maybe back a little bit and have Balotelli play all the way up front?
I'm not really sure. Joseph, do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, I
don't know. It seemed, you know, even when Sturridge was fit, even with just him, his movement is so much better that it pulls other people out of position and lets Sturridge just run right through the middle of the defenses. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure we'll see a combination, but I think once they get Sturridge back, which I don't know, I think maybe he's back after the break or something, but I don't expect to see them together that often. And if they are together, I think they're going to have a hard time keeping Sturridge happy if they move him, you know, out wide again. Right. I don't think he's going to, and I don't think they'd play him behind Balotelli because isn't that where Sterling?
That's where Sterling is playing. That's where kind of they've given Sterling license to run.
Yeah, and it's hard. I mean, he's playing so well. I mean,
there's only one way that Sturridge gets displaced through the middle. And really, if that were to be the case, it would probably be for a good reason because it would mean that Mario Balotelli's form is great.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like until Balotelli becomes the striker that we all think that he has in him.
Yeah.
You know, like if he continues to perform, I mean, look, he scored one goal.
Yeah.
I think it was right? in the Premier League, though, was it?
Well, he scored a goal for Liverpool, but right. you know, he's not. There has not been a big return yet.
No.
You know, and, I mean, even though he's looked good in terms of helping out the team play and stuff like that, it's, you know, like his contribution's been noticeable, but he hasn't come in and lit up the league.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So until that happens, when Sturridge comes back, he's been the guy who's been performing when he plays.
Yeah.
So if he's still the man, then he's gonna play through the middle.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. But, like, the only way he gets displaced is if Balotelli hits his stride and all of a sudden is knocking in the goals at least, you know, one every other game or so.
I just think that this might be, and obviously it's a little too early to say, but this might be a case of history repeating with a big sale of a big striker and they kind of, you know, squander the money on a few small players who they hope will deliver the goods the way that Suarez did when they bought him. And
they probably will, but it's going to take, you know,
a while, yeah.
A couple of years probably.
If they deliver. But I think to maybe mix it up a little bit and, you know, go for the throat, they should have just spent that money on a really expensive striker.
Well, here's the thing. I think they would have if they could have convinced a big striker.
And I think they tried all summer to convince someone to come.
I'm sure, because they would have taken the way that United in the way that they were bent over this season, the fact that, you know, once they were out of the Champions League, had to throw their money at basically the most expensive player that was willing to come to them is who they bought.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's just whoever they could win a bidding war and was willing to come to them without Champions League.
And salary.
Well, I mean,
whoever they were willing to give millions of dollars
in salary. Yeah, and the thing is, they were willing to give, like, you. I don't know what the numbers are on those guys' contracts, but we know there are guys like Di Maria and Falcao have come in on crazy fucking
Falcao's
money.
Falcao's like $324,000 a week or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. Like, it's not a coincidence why, you know, some other teams weren't willing to do that. It's those are insane numbers.
Yeah. You're going to have to start paying Raheem Sterling, that type of money.
Right. And the thing is that, like, you know, that's like he's coming from an oil club where that's what he's making over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's what he that could be. I don't know what the number is. But that could be just a subsidy of what his full wage is. Monaco could still be paying part of his wages because he got some ridiculous wage packet to go there, tax-free in Monaco. So to compensate that, I mean, part of the reason the wages are so high is also to compensate, you know, with the tax laws.
Yeah.
To still take so that he still takes home the same amount of money.
Right, right. It's really a really expensive business venture these days.
And I mean, honestly, I mean, really, in terms of what you could buy and – you could buy still in the league. You could probably put together a few good players for your squad on all those wages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could put a back line together with all those wages.
Yeah,
right. To play in the top half of the Premier League with all those wages, or at a top four team,
for sure.
So it's wild.
Yeah,
the numbers are fucking wild.
It's almost unreal at this point. It's like imaginary.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You know, like we're anyone who. You know, I don't know. Look, Arsenal fans like to get on their high horse about how, you know, because we're a business that we make our own money and all, you know, and that our balances are nice and all, that we run this club responsibly. It's a great fiscal model and it does really well. And it's benefits by the fact that we've been so successful and continued to, you know, be an elite club, even if not winning, just always up and around and always in the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
And we've built a brand with all that. And, I don't know. It's been really important, you know, to maintain that. But I don't know, man. It's just a lot. Arsenal. I fucking forget what I'm thinking about.
I mean, I totally get it. You got to maintain some integrity. Because
we run the club so well, and that like this is the way that we have our ideals, that we're up on some high horse about how much you can pay wages for people and stuff like that. You know, like you know that we have this money that we can spend our own money that we've made,
right?
And you know, do this the right way as opposed to the oil clubs who come in and pay this ridiculous amount, and they inflate the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gets to these exorbitant prices. Players are going. I mean, Joseph, what do you think? I mean, like, Bakary Sagna is probably on, what, double what his deal was with us at City?
Yeah, because he was on, like, 60 or something like that.
Right, so he's getting paid over 100K to be a reserve fullback.
Jesus.
Like,
a bad fullback.
And he started one or two matches now?
He started the...
The
one they lost.
The Champions League match.
Didn't he start the one they lost against Stoke?
I think so.
Yeah. Because I heard a bunch of criticism.
So he had two starts so far, right? Mm-hmm. The one was against Stoke, and it was kind of like rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, Zabaleta had a few games, and then he came in to spell him, basically. Right. And it was Stoke.
they clearly underestimated.
And then Zabaleta plays the next match, and then there's Champions League. But here's the thing. The reason why Sagna started in the Champions League was because Zabaleta was suspended.
Oh.
So that is why he started that match. And then now, the only reason he played in the last game was because Zabaleta got red carded. So now he's going to get another start because Zabaleta is suspended for the next match. So he'll get one more start, and then he'll be immediately back to the bench as a sub.
Oh, no, wait. Wouldn't that be today? Wouldn't that have been today's match?
Was it League Cup?
It's a League Cup match. So if he started today, that would be the one game suspension, right? That would count for Zabaleta.
You're right. That would count.
He'd be back for the weekend.
Well, there you go.
There's been a lot of football
right
this
back.
Week.
And that worked out perfectly because that's the match that he would have played anyway, right? Sagna would get the Capital One Cup match.
Anyway.
Yeah. So.
Interesting.
So it works out that way.
Yeah.
So he'll continue to miss all the big matches.
That's what you think. I mean, but you know, Zabaleta's Argentinian. He's a bit of a wild card. you never know. I mean, I don't think that's his last red card of the season. So, he might get another big game.
He might get another.
I mean, honestly, I mean, isn't that the way to go into your early 30s? All of a sudden, you have to work half as hard. You get to sit on the bench. You get to train.
You're going to win some sort of trophy.
You're going to win a trophy. you're making double the money you have been.
Half the effort.
Right.
Yeah.
The wife just continues to buy white jeans.
Oh, Ludovine. You don't know.
No. You don't know.
You don't even know.
You don't know what you're talking about.
And she is dearly missed. She is dearly missed. that's probably the main reason I never say a bad word about Bakari. No, I kid. I loved him at Arsenal. I thought he was a great player. I still think he's a good player. If I had my druthers, he would still be the starting right back at Arsenal. But I can't. Well, especially right now, considering Debushi's fucked himself.
Because we don't have one,
right? So, but even as all things, you know, stood. But you know, Debushi was winning me over. It's a shame with the fucking injury. But you know, that's where we are.
What is it now? 4 months? He's going to be.
I say three, right? Three, right, Joseph?
So, 2 months and like 27 more days, something like that.
If we're being specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to know the exact date. Right. But now let's move on to something a little bit more cheery. Well, I mean, obviously Liverpool was a bit cheery. It was pretty cheery for all parties around here, at least. And then the Arsenal went to take on second place to Aston Villa, who had conceded. How many goals have they conceded so far this season?
One.
One goal all season. And
they come off beating Liverpool.
Yeah.
Right?
Just coming, you know, hot off the tails of beating Liverpool. You know, the hottest and most formed team in the league outside of Chelsea. And you know, we're sitting pretty right there. And Arsenal came out, and I thought they really took it to Aston Villa. You know, it was a bit back and forth, but Chesney had a really huge save to keep us in before they scored. But, you know, a three-goal blitz that early, I mean, I don't know, like, how else would you describe it? I mean, it really was just
just had them. The first one, you know, was just a great bit of play from Welbeck and Ozil getting into space and cool finish, you know, and used that speed we have, the little bit of separation we haven't seen for a little while.
And he's got deceptive speed, Ozil, because
he's smooth.
It seems like he won't pull away from somebody, but if he gets that space, he won't get sucked up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he'll stay moving, you know, he'll have enough to keep that separation.
Yeah, he's not a short guy. He's got a decent stride. He's got good pace. He, you know, may not run at full speed for 90 minutes, but he knows when to turn it on.
Right. And that kind of had them rocked a little bit. And then, I mean, hell, they were still showing highlights by the time that the next minute came through to score the second goal.
Right.
You know.
And the second goal was another fine piece of work. What do you think of that goal, Joseph?
Well, I mean, you can't really ask for better movement all around. You know, great, good passing. You know, in the spaces that were provided by pulling Villa all around, and I mean, a great finish for Welbeck's first goal. So,
yeah, and that's really great. And really, there wasn't. Yeah, I mean, like when you watch the ball speed, like the you know, how quick we move the ball around in that move, there isn't really a correct way to defend that. Because even if you make all the right moves, the ball, you know, when the ball is played with pace like that, it moves quicker than any of us can.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
if you can quickly execute two or three passes as the way we did, you know, I didn't time it, but you know, there was a span where there was like three passes in 2 seconds.
Right.
You know, something like that where, you know, this quick movement's done, you know, it's done with such precision, with such, you know, hit into the right place, that you're going to pull people out of position. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. You know, the quick layoff from Ozil with the outside of his foot, you know, he makes it look so easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, the technique to hit that perfectly is quite difficult.
Yeah.
And then Ramsey's pass back to Ozil was perfectly on the money. You know, that was the one that really got the separation. And then who else do you really want on that ball other than Ozil, other than, well, maybe one or two guys, but yeah. but really, Ozil is one of the top people you'd want in the world in that situation to look up and pick a pass for a guy making a run there. So, you know, it worked out really well. Danny Welbeck got his first goal. I mean, it's great for him to get off the mark, you know, in just, was it third match?
Right.
Right.
And I mean, the thing is, though, you guys have already seen his attempts at the Magnificent versus the Clinical, right? I mean, I think he's gone for a couple chips at this point. But this is exactly the type of rhythm he needs to get in to, is latching on to crosses and really gaining the confidence of just hammering that ball and finishing, you know?
Well, and the thing is, he's also getting, like, when has he ever had a consistent run of games at center forward? You know, I mean, look, it's not that he has never had starts center forward for United.
Yeah.
But they certainly weren't, you know, he's never had three league fixtures in a row where he started center forward.
No.
And he's going to get that right now at Arsenal.
He's going to get,
significantly more. But it's something that, like, you know, that it's just a great opportunity for him. And it's perfect because he gets his chance with Giroud out to really stake his claim to it. And really, you know, you think, from what we've seen from him, he looks like he has the potential to be something pretty special.
Yeah.
And a very good player. And he's getting his chance to, you know, make his run.
And I mean, the issue was always going to be that he needed consecutive starts to gain consistency, and that's something that Manu was not willing to offer him, which is why he had to move on. And it's like, you know, a lot of people were saying losing integrity or stuff like that, and it's like, we recognize that he's a talented player. We recognize the potential for business we can gain from him. And the fact is, you know, we respect him enough to be honest and say you're not going to get the minutes that you want.
Well, that's the case. I mean, you know, it probably was the right move for him. I mean, I'm not just saying to Arsenal, but I mean to leave United, it was probably the right move for him anyway, even if Falcao didn't come in.
No, yeah.
I mean, even, you know, they would, if Chicharito weren't leaving, you know, it seemed like he was ahead of him in the pecking order there, you know, but for Welbeck, the best decision was to leave.
Yeah.
You know, to go somewhere where he can play regularly. And honestly, he couldn't have fallen into a better, you know, he probably wouldn't have had that opportunity with a club bigger than Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and speaking of Chicharito for a real quick second here, the guy never scores a goal outside the 6-yard box from Man U.
Has he ever scored anything but a bundled goal or a header?
No, it does. Like, nothing outside that 6-yard box.
His first ever goal for Real Madrid, the screamer from outside the box. Oh, like, what
a goal that was.
Yeah, that was, it was very good, but yeah, certainly something we're not used to seeing from him.
It was a garbage goal, I'll give it that, but
yeah,
man,
I think
what an incredible
goal. That made it 7-2, I believe.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I didn't even know he could hit the ball like that, so.
No, that was a
even
shot
that far.
He was definitely outside his comfort zone when he hit that. But he
took it quite coolly, though. Man, I mean, he certainly, even if he wasn't accustomed to scoring those, he certainly, like, acted like the cool cat after. So,
pretty much. Yeah. And he followed up with another one.
Yeah.
Good for him, man. Yeah. You know, all Man United fans wish him the best. Absolute love for that kid. Same with Shinji Kagawa. It was heartbreaking to see him sit on the bench for 2 years. And I agree wholeheartedly with Jurgen Klopp that, you know, it brings tears to my eyes to see him out of position. The CAM maestro, you know, forced to play left wing or left mid.
You know, the funny thing is he actually might spend some time there at Dortmund this season.
Well,
I mean, with Mkhitaryan getting injured, it's actually opened up some minutes for him right there at the position. So that's actually, you know, well, it's not, Dortmund have so many injuries already that they're pretty savage right now, even though they put on a clinic last week in tearing apart Arsenal.
Right.
Well,
it just shows what they're capable of.
Yeah. Well, there's no one doubting the talent of the squad, right? But the depth isn't, well, any team with that amount of injuries would be decimated. So
yeah, exactly.
To their most important players, as it's happened to us in the past, it's happened to, you know, most of our teams in the past. And it's just,
every year, that's what you mean. In the past, I mean, in the past, like right now.
Yeah.
Or.
Well, I mean, you know, we've been suffering from a much worse, you know, our sick bay has been a lot more full than it is at the moment. And, you know, I'm not counting my chickens yet. I mean, we'll see where we're at in 2 months. Yeah. But I'd agree with you wholeheartedly there. Any other thoughts on the match, Joseph? What was your big feeling after? I mean, it was a big answer.
Just satisfaction. Just to, you know, great for Ozil to kind of get a goal and to assist the goal and to play his preferred position, but more importantly that he played it, he did well, and so maybe people can just shut up for a while, but there wasn't really anything too negative to say, so which is kind of not the typical when we get what we've had for a while. So it was good to get 3 points. To hopefully build on something for that squad. So,
yeah, and maybe, overall, it's just satisfaction. Maybe, you know, Wenger will come to the realization that there's maybe a little too many cooks in the CAM kitchen there, and he should probably just allow Ozil to have his way.
I mean, I don't know if I was as hung up on Ozil being played out of position as to him just not playing well. And there, I mean, certainly there's some of it that goes with confidence and where he's primarily deployed. But even in those matches when he started on the left, he moved all over the pitch and was on the right side and was in the middle.
Well, but maybe it has to do with, you know, the comfort zone until he's playing better. And once he's playing better overall, you move him wherever the hell you want to.
I mean,
you know?
I've seen him play more on the wing and play more effectively. And I thought, you know, I think people were more critical than they should have been to his efficiency in the World Cup. I thought we saw a pretty decent Ozil for decent chunks of that World Cup. You know, he didn't light it up every single match. No, but he was an important cog in that team, and he played
started,
well in certain.
Started every
single match, and was a vital cog and contributed to a World Cup winning team, and was playing in good enough form there. And I thought we saw, you know, what he's capable of, even if it wasn't prolific. It's like you have to understand, like, I don't know. It's always tougher for players like him because it's not like where you see the work rate, the way you see guys that are workhorses like Alexis Sanchez, the guys like Aaron Ramsey, you know, who you can see what they, how they take over and they influence a game.
Yeah.
In a bigger fashion.
He's in those ranks of Berba, you know, like Dimitar and,
well,
these guys,
in the same kind of way that if you can look languid like that,
and
you can look, you have disdain to certain things. I mean, a lot of it just has to do with body language and stuff, and it's just like people read a lot into that, and it's like, well, you're gonna get, there's players of certain caliber that can give you something spectacular, and that's something that he can do with regularity. Mm-hmm. Whether, you know, is it all the time, game in, game out? No, but he's always dangerous, and it's always a possibility for him, and something that he does a lot. So
I will say, though, he has not been as mesmerizing as the 06 World Cup. Like, I felt that was where he made his name. 2010.
Yeah, he's not that old.
Yeah, sorry.
He's young.
Sorry.
Still young, but
he made his name there, and I would really love to see that, I guess, elegance from him.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was certainly a bit swashbuckling, like, you know, youth and youthful exuberance and confidence, and which is great to see. I mean, he still has it in him, man. You know, like, you know, he's got a little bit of swag. He's got his, you know. But you're right. I mean, he does seem like a kind of guy.
He needs the long hair with the sweatband.
He's got to stop shaving parts in the side of his head.
Yeah.
That might be a start. I'd back that. I'd back that campaign.
Somebody should write him a letter in child.
But he used to have really shit hair. I mean, if you see his hair back at like Werder Bremen before, even before the World Cup and all that, I think he had like bleached mohawk kind of thing for a while. Right? I mean, you've seen
him. He had pretty bad hair.
He had some pretty bad hair. So it's not like he doesn't have a track record of very good hairstyles.
Was it a Jamie Vardy? Was it a
lot? No, not quite that travesty. But I mean, you guys let him score on you. So I don't know how many laughs you can have. Yeah. But yeah, so let's move on. Let's move on from Saturday, because, you know, Saturday.
Let's go right into Sunday. Let's talk about Sunday.
You
Super
guys
Sunday.
Talk about Sunday? Can we keep talking about Saturday for a little bit longer?
Okay. No. Tottenham also lost, which is great for us. We'll wait for everybody.
Everton,
you know,
by the way, losing. Roberto Martinez's philosophy not being practiced as much in defense as it has been in offense is unfortunate. Seeing that team flow the way they do and letting those matches go is disappointing. But, yeah.
They're going to continue to get up to the big matches, and they're going to drop in matches they should win. I mean, that's what's going to happen to that team. You
they're
know?
Young.
Well,
they're young.
Well, it's always seemed like that's the issue with them, because there isn't enough depth. And, you know, there's so many times that depth is telling. And Everton have pushed a good campaign for large chunks of the season many a time before.
Mm-hmm.
And they've even made late pushes occasionally, but usually it's more like where they falter a little bit. You know, they can be strong in through the middle of the season, but they just don't have enough to get across the line.
Spurs... That you know, Spurs continuing and having to play in the Europa League is really the best thing for everybody.
Oh,
it really screws them up. I mean, they don't
always have to play Sunday matches.
Sunday matches. They played on Thursday, so
mm-hmm.
they played Thursday, get back late Thursday, early morning, right? Then Friday, they're not going to go right back into training. They have Saturday prepared, and that's it.
Damn. I didn't even think of it that way.
No, it's awesome.
I never account for the travel.
No, I mean, it's unless you're really trying to, like, bleed a bunch of players, which mm-hmm. is what they do sometimes when they rotate a lot for those, if they're really just not taking it that seriously.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be good to get some players minutes. I mean, we'll get to the Capital One Cup stuff. I mean, like, one of my biggest regrets of being out of that competition is not being able to play those kids.
Which is exactly because
it's like we're used to not winning it.
Right.
But give me three matches where the kids can play and the people who need to rotate. Like, I want to see Joel Campbell have a game. Because I don't care that much about the Capital One Cup.
No.
I mean, I do care. I want to win a trophy. But, like, I understand it's a League Cup and it's a lesser thing. And, like, I've enjoyed being able to watch our young players get a chance to play in a tournament. And, you know, because you want to see what the future holds and whether or not these guys, whether it be players that just haven't had enough playing time. You know, we saw Joel Campbell and Podolski play. As well as many others and a lot of youngsters. I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know, like right. that, like it's just nice to have that competition. You know, where you can see these guys.
Well, right. And these players. The same with Everton is they're going to try to win it.
Yeah.
Right. Because that might be the only shot they have.
That's,
trophy. Well,
yeah. Southampton have no Europe. I mean, that's the thing. We went against a very hot team. It was almost like walking into back-to-back situations of Aston Villa and Southampton are kind of similar kind of situations, although you have to say the expectations for Aston Villa were a little bit higher than Southampton. I mean, crazy to see Southampton do what – I mean, they look like they're playing like a good side together after having their spine ripped out. I feel like I watched like a Mortal Kombat fatality happen to them over the summer of just
– Oh, you're talking about Southampton?
Yeah,
and
like
they managed to
Scorpion.
Get back up after the spine was ripped and actually win that match.
But I mean, like they've shown – I mean, look – They're in second place in the Premier League now.
Yeah.
And they came out with a full strength squad. And so, you know, you're right. It's different. They approach it differently.
Right.
But
and I think one of the good things is they do build a philosophy around their youth squad. So a lot of these players that come up through the ranks have that continuity of their mentality and they're just able to keep working.
It seems like it's a well-run club.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great club.
Good for them.
Very good.
Let's get back to Sunday before we go.
Sunday. So let's go with where it starts.
It starts with me waking up at 5:30.
I woke up.
Me too.
Yeah. It was 2-1.
Oh, you did.
I woke up and it was 2-1 United. And then you get and then I woke up just in time for Herrera's goal.
Okay.
Which was a fantastically taken goal. Nice little redirection, you know.
I love that guy.
Tidy.
Yeah.
I thought about Mark and I thought, wow, he's got to be enjoying the hell out of this because he was talking about Herrera on last week's podcast about how Herrera and Blind were going to anchor that midfield. And then I woke up and the first thing I saw was Herrera score and them just celebrate like the game was over.
I was throwing my fists into the air, like uppercutting, you know, that real, like, you know,
like Dragon
speaking
Punch?
Of Mortal Kombat, you know, the uppercut.
Oh, yeah.
I was stoked, you know, and I'm jumping around, yelling out the window. It was amazing, an amazing feeling for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it was one of those, like, the fucking typical cliche of the tale of two halves.
Yeah.
Even though it really wasn't that different in terms of the way they approached the game.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I thought once they went up 2-0, you know, and the thing was that the first two goals were both very good goals. They're both top class goals. Let's not fuck around.
Manu's goals. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But you're getting, like, you couldn't write the script better for them, right? It's a dream setup. You have Falcao. To Van Persie.
Assisting.
Click.
Correct.
There you go.
Yes.
Di Maria, brilliant piece of
individual skill. That was a great,
absolute
great
fantastic
goal.
Goal. I hate Incredible. That. Actually, I like it. That's probably the one of the only. That goal was so good, it made the rest of it so much better.
It's so true.
I love seeing Di Maria do that, just not in those colors. But it was an absolutely brilliant goal. Well taken, quickly, quick little dink over the keeper. And it's just one of those things that you have to just, you know, take your hat off and applaud.
Yeah.
Great, great fucking goal. So you couldn't have written it any better, right? Mm-hmm. Just in the same way, look, the Arsenal game, the script went perfectly in terms of, you know, well, who if you could draw up how this result would go the best way possible for Arsenal. Okay, let's have a clean sheet. Who needs a goal? Ozil needs a goal. All right, like, that'd be great for his confidence. Great. He got a goal. Welbeck doesn't have a goal yet. He should get a goal. Oh, okay. So it written the way, you know, the Hollywood written
script.
Right,
right.
And that's the way it's all starting for United. Uh-huh. I was in bed watching it, like, on my iPad, and was just like, it went 2-0, and I was like, I just closed my eyes and was like, okay, like, when I hear something, I'll come back to this. Right. And I was like, fuck, it looks like you got it. But, you know, it brought me back.
Ah.
It brought me back. The thing was, so, like, you know, just, I was thinking it in the immediate aftermath of the goal. I was like, oh, man, Southampton are fucked. I mean, not Southampton. You know, they're
– Leicester.
Leicester are fucked now. They're just not, you know, 2-0 down this quickly into the match. Like, I'm not even done thinking that, and they've already scored a goal.
I had this image of Peter Schmeichel standing up in the stands going, I'm sorry, son. My love will forever be towards Man U more than you. And then, I mean, at the end there, it was just – but – the Ujoa goal. Can I say that Vardy's cross was out of bounds?
That you can. You can say
that
it.
That rolled out of bounds, and
that wouldn't be
it.
My biggest complaint of Vardy today.
No. We can still discount the one goal.
Yeah.
Like, we'll give you the discount on one.
Okay.
We'll give you a discount on one. But the thing is, but the big thing about it, sure, it's one that got the tide rolling back in their direction, which you could say is could be the most important goal, right? Turning the tide is the hardest thing to do, you'd say. But
getting that
involved, you were still winning the fucking match.
Yeah.
You're still winning the match. So I don't care what. Like, yeah, so that changed the tide, but yeah.
And we know all about giving away goals, so we know what we're talking about.
Yes, we do.
Uh-huh. I hear you guys.
Two goal leads, that's nothing.
So first half,
we have Falcao.
If you had a halftime chat with another one of your United mates, you know,
done and dusted, right? Yeah. And the second half rolls around. Falcao hits the post. Wish it was a goal, but hey, whatever. We're winning, and then Herrera gets that incredible goal, and it's just scot free. And I felt as if maybe the United fans and the United players had somehow synchronized their mentality, and all everybody just kicked their feet up on the Barca lounger, and everybody just went, okay, game over, guys. Let's cruise.
Took Di Maria off, right? Because the game was over, right?
Right. Well, we took him off when it was 3-2.
Was it 3-2?
It was at 3-2.
Yeah.
But it was 70-something minutes, and you were still winning.
He had slowed down significantly.
Yeah, you didn't feel like... I suppose as a United fan, you still feel like you had enough to like still win this game. Because look, you still have
Januzaj.
Well, and you still have Januzaj. You're bringing on guys like Mata, and you still have Rooney and
Van Persie.
Rooney, Van Persie, and Falcao on the pitch.
In the game, yeah.
Like you, they thought they were okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
We all thought they were okay.
Probably, we probably all did.
And then the penalty comes.
The penalty.
Which, can I say what I called Clattenburg? Can I say
you called him a joke?
Can I say whatever? I said, oh man, what a fucking cunt that guy is. Okay, that penalty call was the biggest bullshit I've seen in a very, very long time. A very long time.
Well, you know,
it was a foul, that's for sure.
It was a foul, and it wasn't a penalty.
It was
a foul on Varney, and then it wasn't a penalty.
It was as much a penalty as Rooney's penalty on the 50th match. So I would say that's a penalty. He breathed on him, and he fell. So
no, I'm with you. I mean, look, the thing there was contact in the penalty, but it was Varney.
It was not
throwing
a foul.
Himself.
Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
It was Varney throwing himself into the guy and then falling down.
Yeah.
And so
it looked real.
Yeah, it looked real. Like I wouldn't book the guy for simulation on that play. You know, I wouldn't be like, that's a blatant dive.
Yeah.
Even though you could tell he completely initiated the contact.
Right.
But it's an easy no call for me.
Yeah. Well, he basically threw on the brakes, right? And let him hit him behind.
And it's like, and you certainly can't do that. It's immediately after allowing him to throw a fucking full shoulder barge into the guy.
Right.
Completely knocking him off. As much as I can appreciate that, being a man who's enjoy doing that in matches. Like, I know when I'm doing something legal and it's a really straightforward 50-50 and going into it kind of cleanly. And I know when I decide to lean into it and put my shoulder through somebody, which is, you know.
His arm flashed out
to
the side after leaning his shoulder into Rafael.
Yeah.
It was a foul. Everyone saw it. Leicester fans knew it. And Leicester fans were going, okay, well, that's a free kick.
But even if, like, even if I'm kind of okay with the no call,
right?
You know, you can't call a penalty.
No,
cannot.
No.
But
you got hosed on that one.
I'm okay with how it turned out, though. So, and the thing is, I don't know. In terms of, let's talk about dubious penalties. Like, I think the scales are still heavily tilted in your favor in terms of how many penalties you've had as a United fan over the years that have helped you in plenty of big fucking games.
Cristiano, you know, incurred the bulk of that. but we can all agree
Rooney's got plenty of those as well.
Yeah,
I think even in his short time, Young has a few.
Yeah, Young has plenty. Ashley Young has many.
Valencia has a few.
Yeah, Valencia has a few. And, you know, I understand Chicharito. Charma is a bitch. And it definitely hurt. But, you know, like I said. Okay, but I got to say, we did joke about Cambiasso scoring.
Yeah.
And when he scored, I immediately thought of the two of you laughing your asses off.
I was laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, it was. I was cackling in that same way. Just like in that, like, maniacal. Just like a wicked witch. Yeah, the wicked witch.
Well, after Ulloa's first goal, you know, when
Ulloa. I thought he was pronounced Ulloa.
It's not.
Oh,
but okay.
It isn't. Okay, Joseph.
but I tweeted both of you, like, look, he scored one. I did not think he was going to get a second one.
Oh, man. Well, it was a penalty. It was a penalty.
Right.
Yeah.
It was.
So, it was. Not man. To say that that makes it any easier. Man. I'm just saying. It
was I mean, like, I feel for the kid, man. Blackett has had a rough few weeks, man.
He's a talented young kid, and he'll be fine. But, you know, it's just, you know.
But, like,
it was bad. It was, like, bad.
He's getting rushed along, which works when it goes well. But, like, depending on the strength of character, which I can't attest to because I don't really know anything about Blackett.
I don't you know could, too look, much either.
But, I mean, young players like that can be destroyed by having their confidence shattered way too early. It can fuck with them. It can get to their head.
I'm not saying
I'm worried about that yet. Yeah, I think he'll be fine as well. But I'm just saying it does happen.
Right. And in all fairness, every young Manchester United defender, central defender especially, has had a game like this.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one.
Well, yeah, especially all the ones you have in your squad.
Yeah, exactly. You've played.
Who's
going to be your center back this weekend? It's going to be Michael Carrick, right? Michael Carrick
he's
might be playing.
Back. He's an ankle injury.
Oh, he's still out?
Yeah.
But those are the kind of alternatives that we're looking at, you know? Right. Like, you guys have been so shallow where that's
going
to
be. It's going to be Chris Smalling because Johnny Evans got injured.
Right.
along with Phil Jones. So, in all fairness, we have our whole back four has been torn up. We have no options here. We're probably going to have to bring Michael Keane back to defend at center. Luke Shaw needs to play. That's what I'm saying. Like, he needs to play. I don't care if he's fat, skinny, out of shape, smoking cigarettes. He needs to play. Rojo needs to move into the middle. It's ridiculous that we had him playing on as a fullback.
How come
when we had Shaw?
Right. Well, look, Rojo was a fullback on a team that was in the World Cup final. It's not like you're doing. I mean, it's not outlandish to be playing him as a fullback.
I get that, but you know, putting all that pressure on Tyler Blackett and Johnny Evans, who was injured majority of last season, like. Only to get injured again, and to bring on Chris Smalling, who just recovered from injury.
Well, so what about Blin playing fullback?
Blin could have played fullback, but then we'd have that. Well, we had a void in that defensive mid, regardless of Blin being there. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, £30 million. Luke Shaw is there. He's available. He's fit. Marcos Rojo could have moved into the middle.
But when has Rojo really played in the middle?
At Sporting,
but he played fullback as well, right? I mean, I know he was primarily a center back. At Sporting, right?
At Sporting, he did the most damage as a center back. Right. That was where his reputation was grown, and where Sabella noticed him was as a center back.
Right,
coming to the Argentina squad, that's when Sabella realized
his versatility, and that's where he could fit him into his squad because he wanted to play him
exactly. But you could definitely see in offense, and if you could see me now, I'm doing air quotes. In offense, he was largely ineffective and kind of lacked the endurance, the stamina, the pace, everything to backtrack and cover that completely empty fullback spot, which, by the way, was where Leicester, which was the spot that Leicester exploited for the last two goals.
Yeah, absolutely ripped to pieces, and they had acres of space. It was like each player that received the ball, even after crossing into the opposing half, had at least 10 yards of space, like a radius around them of space.
Right.
They're like, I'm going to run unchallenged for this next like 10, 15 yards until anyone gets even close to me.
Right.
I can dribble the ball three times, look up, think about all sorts of things.
And all that happened in those last two goals was everybody turns. Juan Mata losing the ball was awful. Not entirely his fault. But everybody turns around and Tyler Blackett's standing there with his dick in his hands going, what the hell's going on, guys? And he should have played, what was it, Brinkwater, whoever scored that fifth goal. He should have played him offside, in my opinion. But, you know, it just moved too quickly for him. He's too young to adapt to that. And Leicester are too cohesive of a team at home to not exploit a situation that presents itself in that way.
So. You know, having experience with losing leads that you shouldn't lose to teams and having suspect defenses for years, the thing you'll have to look forward to all season is that people won't quit playing you because they think they can get a goal.
Right.
And we've had anxiety, you know, matches that we shouldn't have had, even at 2-0.
Right.
You know, that we're still on edge at the 90th minute, even, because we know that there's a possibility that they're not going to stop attacking. You know, they're not just going to give up. You know, like Villa did this weekend to us. They just gave up. That whole second half was of damage control.
Yeah.
And if it continues to happen to United like this, where teams put up three goals and they might not win that day, but if they pull up three goals, teams are just going to continue to go after you, you know?
Right. And they know they can because we don't really have a back four. And there just has to be changes made. We got it. I mean, I want to say we should have probably shopped for more defenders instead of attackers.
And category A defenders.
Category A.
I mean, real center backs.
Maybe should have laid off the whole Banasia was a fair deal. It was a good approach. I mean, they had as good a chance as anyone to get him.
Well, no, you didn't have as good of a chance because there's no Champions League. That does matter.
Yeah, I agree. Which is why a team like Bayern wins head over shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple clubs, considering their standing and their impeccable record in terms of qualification.
Mm-hmm. Roma had Champions League, I guess.
Roma had Champions League, so he's not going to leave Champions League, and he's only leaving for a bigger team. Roma are, you know, second favorites to win the Scudetto this year, have started off on fire, haven't conceded a goal, and are undefeated so far in Serie A. It's a good
team.
Sounds
familiar
to last
season, though.
It is. But I mean, you know, they put up a good fight against Juve. But I digress. You were severely hampered by the fact that you don't have Champions League, and that is a huge factor. In people's heads,
Mats Hummels.
Certainly.
Yeah,
he's never leaving anyway.
No.
He'll leave to go somewhere in a year or two, but.
He has to, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's...
They'll sell him.
The other thing is, you're the only...
Well, they're only selling one a year, so it couldn't happen.
Right.
Next year is Royce for sure.
They're not willing to do it a lot. Yeah, Royce is going to be the big departure next season. You know, everybody knows it's just... He's going to be offered ridiculous wages. And, you know, and look, rightfully so. He is one of the best young players we've seen in a while, and... Is going to be up at that super elite level.
What a shame he did not get that World Cup.
Oh man, I know. It's the only reason I changed my pick from Germany to go with Argentina, because like Royce was out, and I was like, this was the guy who was going to announce himself on the stage, and if he's the guy I thought was going to be Germany's most influential player,
right?
I mean, not that like it changed my prediction that much. I had them going to the final and losing. It just, you know,
right?
Didn't quite pan out that way, which is, you know, great for the Germans and good for Arsenal. We got a German core, and so, you know, there's
might even get Royce.
I mean, that's the pipe dream. That's the pipe dream. You hope that the influence of, like, you know, if you've seen Royce play with Ozil.
Right.
And that's when, that's all, and then if Royce was there, Royce would have been playing on the left, not Ozil.
Yeah.
Because that's what, and when you watch Royce and Ozil play there in interchange, it's fantastic. So, you would hope that maybe that's the only way Arsenal have a chance, because it's not like we're going to offer the highest wages that he's going to be offered.
Right.
Right. There's a buyout clause for, you know, at a set price, which is going to be significantly under what he could command on the open market.
Mm-hmm.
So
$25 million.
Even if it's 30 mil, whatever it is, you know, he could be sold for 40, 50, whatever more.
Yeah.
Million pounds. And so teams are going to throw money at him because, look, they know he's you're getting him at a good value, below market value, and you can pay him whatever. You know, you're subsidizing it by if he's worth $60 million, I can buy him for 35. Well, fuck it. Yeah, I'll give him a 4-year or 5-year contract on some crazy money because you're still saving money.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, so anyway, that was a good Sunday morning for two of us.
It was.
Right,
it was.
And so you can't believe what you've seen, and then another match starts.
Uh-huh. That also presented a very unbelievable situation. But let me just
boring
say before
show.
I forget.
I slept through the first half.
Let me just say before I forget, why the hell didn't Chelsea just attack? Why didn't they play the game that they've been playing this whole time?
Because Mourinho's as big of a pussy as Mancini.
Exactly.
Oh,
when it comes to playing away.
Yeah, I mean, he's got his set formula, you know, and it all went to plan.
It did.
It all went to plan.
Until...
And then the greatest thing... All right, so let's just... I mean, it's not that we're choosing to gloss over the first half, but the first half was pretty dire, right? I mean, Chelsea did nothing offensively. You know, there wasn't... There's not much to talk about the first half. It was a boring match. It was a boring half of football. It really had me dozing off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just... I was uninterested. It was, you know, it's something that you just had to. It was just a bit ridiculous. They weren't doing much of anything. It was certainly a letdown in terms of excitement and all the good stuff we were seeing in the match in the morning. And you know, you weren't seeing too much. Joseph, what did you think about that match as we headed into halftime and came into that kind of wild second half?
It was what I expected. Really tight, and Chelsea basically holding for a draw. If something happens, they'll gladly take a win, but holding that, you know, for the point away.
Absolutely.
That's what they tried. I mean, that's what they've done to us I don't know how many times. So,
and it just works so efficiently, right? You know, they play it tight, keep it tight, nick a goal on a set piece, or you know, for us against Chelsea, it was always Drogba pulling off a piece of, even if it wasn't magic, just, you know, just Drogba being Drogba. And creating something and making something happen,
right?
But yeah, exactly, right. Play it, keep it tight, and do it. And it all went to plan, and it fucking the you know, it was perfect. And then up came our hero for the day. Just what were your thoughts when you saw Lampard taking the field?
Well, I thought that's kind of a dick move. I like it, you know. Just you know, he doesn't really want to play against Chelsea. But he's called, he's named in the squad, he comes on, you know, you could just tell even just standing there before he even came on, he didn't really want to play. But, you know, and you can hear Chelsea fans singing his name as he comes on, so that was fun. But I didn't expect anything out of it.
No, neither did I. I mean, just,
especially, you know, being a man down, right?
Right, being a man down, but I mean, they were going to be going for it. I mean, you know, I guess playing at Chelsea, you're going to get, I mean, you know, playing for City and chasing the game like that, they were going to be doing something, you know, and he was, you know, he found himself wandering into the box at a certain point.
That's what he always does, right? He arrives.
Yeah. Late arrival, you know, and then he's that outlet pass at the end, right? You know, you do that, and then here he comes charging through. So in he comes, and it happens pretty quickly.
It's pure instinct, and you can kind of see him go, oh shit, that's in.
it feels like, I remember watching like a slow motion sequence on The Simpsons when, like, I think Ralph is like hurt by something Lisa says, and it shows him like crumple up, like his face.
He grabs his heart.
Yeah, right. And yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, as it's like the realization as he realizes what he's done or what has happened to him. And it was quite interesting to see that face.
When he gets up and he sticks his arm out to stop them from celebrating, he goes, this is what my life has become.
He looked like, you know, just so conflicted. There was so much emotion going through his face as he did that. Just kind of like, oh, like, I can't celebrate. Yeah. I can't believe I just scored against Chelsea. What the fuck just happened? I
never, like, in his worst nightmare, he never had that image. You know, he never had that happen to him. And I mean, he put his heart and soul into that club, and they spat right in his face.
Well, so I don't know. So I mean, do you think he really wanted to be on the team and like be a reserve player? Because honestly, he doesn't.
He doesn't reserve at Man City though.
Well, yeah. Well, he is now, but he won't be at his permanent club of New York City.
Oh, yes.
I mean, because I mean, that's it's not like he went from Chelsea directly to City, even though that's how it feels.
Right.
He still wants to play, and so even if that means like in the meantime, he's got nothing else he can do other than come join the highest profile team that will take him. And certainly, I think City was probably the highest profile team that would take him because. I don't know how many of the teams would really want him in their squad anymore.
Well, plus they own both teams. Well, so, of course. You know,
well,
they don't have to take any hit because I'm sure that New York's picking up all of his salary.
Right.
Well, the thing is they have two fully capable starting 11s, you know, out of their 26-man squad. So, why not pad
It's one of those things. It's one of those things, like, if you have the money to pay players starting wages for the starters and those on the bench, and it's of no concern, then, yeah, you do it. Because if you can keep that quality, then fuck it. You know, that's what you
Plus
do.
Plus, he's one of the few homegrown players they have. So.
Right. And those are at a premium for them because the homegrown players come to them, and they collect their wages for 2 years, and they realize their careers are dying sitting on the bench. I'm talking to you, Jack Rodwell and Micah Richards. you know what I mean? Like... These are all the players.
Yeah.
Like, those are exactly the guys that were signed, you know. Even that's the reason why a guy like Steve Sidwell got signed to Chelsea. Well, I mean, I guess that was before that.
No, it was Man City.
No.
Oh, no, I'm saying Scott Sinclair.
Yeah, Scott Sinclair is another one. You know, saw him playing during preseason. The only time he ever gets minutes for City ever in his life.
Insane. And, what a waste.
You know, and you have these players who are willing to do this because, and they're willing to pay them good money, way better money than they'd be earning at any other club, even as a starter, to sit the bench and not play at all, but just make up the numbers for that quota. So that's crazy. That's fucking crazy. But that's what they're willing to do. So Lampard does that, scores the goal. I mean, it's fucking brilliant. They show Mourinho on the sidelines, and he's trying not to show anything because he doesn't want to make the cameras happy. You know how much it hurts him inside because the narrative worked perfectly for him.
Yep.
You know, worked absolutely perfectly for him, and then he gets stabbed by Frank Lampard.
Oh, man.
Of all the people
who could have easily miskicked it.
I mean, and that's the thing. You know, we all saw. I'm going to give Frank the benefit of the doubt because. You know, he had that chance that he had all day to think about. You know, when he got the ball outside the box, pushed it in front of himself, took the shot, but dragged it a little bit wide to the left.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like he attempted to strike it correctly, but he had all day. He looked at the shot and lined it up and was like, do I want to beat Chelsea?
And it went through his head.
It's like there was enough time for him to think about, do I want to do this or do I drag it wide?
Yeah.
You know, whereas the goal was instinctive. Scorer? He had to put his leg out.
Right.
Like, it's just instinct. That's what you do. You're a footballer. The ball comes to you. You put your leg out to try to put it in.
Yeah.
Like, when he had all day to think about it, it looked like, do I want to do this?
Yeah, exactly. He didn't have to, instinct kicked in as an attacking midfielder for him to score that goal, and he immediately looked like he regretted it.
Yep. I love the fact that we're starting to see a little bit of the nasty from Pellegrini because – Like he is a gentleman. He is a man that I consider a bit of a classy manager generally.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy that gets along. He's a very sophisticated man. He's a well-learned man.
Classy,
you know, he's a lot of people call him the Chilean Arsene Wenger.
Right.
You know, they've got a little likeness between the two of them. They both kind of look like birds.
They have good temperament.
Yeah. But I really love that he threw out a little barb after that match because Mourinho came and played like a pussy, and he called him out for it. He said one team came and played like a small club. Like two big clubs were here, and one decided to play like a small club.
Yeah.
You know, it's like playing against Stoke.
Right.
And it's like, call him out. Yeah, fuck it, call him out.
It's true.
Why not?
Mourinho, I would have expected the way that Chelsea have been playing to throw the whole kitchen sink at him. You know what I mean? Just unleash this beast.
And what
he just never does.
What did Mourinho do against? Right, I'm just trying to think back to it. I don't know why I didn't think about it before. Didn't Mourinho celebrate like a madman when they beat City last year? Now he's like jumping around with the fans.
He always does that. That's what he always does.
Yeah, because he's a fucking cunt.
Yeah.
You know, because he's Jose fucking Mourinho. That's why
he's not the special. He's the only one.
I think that was the match where they ran up into the stands and celebrated.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly what
it was. Like, man, you know, like that is a bit of one-upsmanship. Like, I have no problem with him running down the line
and sliding on his knees like one of the players.
you know, he's not.
You never got to play, Jose. Get over it.
I mean, if he could leap like Jurgen Klopp, I'd give him a little more leeway.
You mean Kloppo du Popstar?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, du Popstar.
Have you seen that video?
I don't know that I have.
You should.
Yeah, we'll have to watch that. That'll be...
Kloppo du Popstar.
Okay, I'll have to check that out. So, you know, it's been one of those things. Mourinho is a man who will never miss an opportunity to stick a knife in when he can. So, you know, Pellegrini... Even if really not getting a win at home isn't his ideal result, you know, he's happy to. They're the ones who feel better after the match because they came back,
right?
With, you know, while being a man down,
right?
So it's a great feeling.
And Pellegrini, I think, is beginning to understand the mind games, and he's also beginning to understand the opportunities that the media can present. Because as insufferable as they are, they make a great weapon, you know?
Well, certainly. And the thing is that Pellegrini probably has it a little bit better. And this is actually, you know, look, Pellegrini was the manager at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And they had the fucking daggers out for him there because he wasn't the most popular choice they've ever had.
Yeah.
Even though he was a good manager, I thought he did relatively well there.
I think he's a great manager.
But you know, you're under the most intense scrutiny and, like, There are enough people here. Well, not here. There are enough people in England that have an affinity for him. Like, you know, the daggers are out for him because he's a top four manager. So they're always gonna be willing to, you know, stick a knife in these kind of guys. But you know, a lot of people like Pellegrini. He's a likable fellow.
Yeah.
And a learned man and a guy that speaks well and eloquently. And people respect that. So I think he's getting a pretty good and pretty fair shake of it here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, granted, he came in and won the league. So
pretty good start to your career.
That kind of gives you a little, you know, being champions gives you a bit of that leeway, right? So he's done it right. And, you know, and he's in this situation now, and he's got to go up against Mourinho. And really, that's his biggest rival. I mean, obviously, Chelsea are still in first place.
Yeah.
And look like they're going to be there for the next bit unless they have a serious drop of form. So, you know, like get in while you can, because, you know, Mourinho, if Mourinho had scored a goal to equalize while down to 10 men, he would have said some way more smug shit than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So drink it in. Anyways, anything that
I was
makes
drinking it in. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm still thirsty.
Yeah. Let that settle in. But anything that can wipe that smug fucking smile off Jose Mourinho's face, you know, makes me smile.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
An angel gets its wings.
Yeah, it does. It does. But ultimately, what matters is obviously the result and the points. And that was a great day for both of them to drop points. And for even though the rest of the teams, except for Arsenal, really fell behind, at least they didn't fall behind that far.
No, I mean, I think it was great. It was about as ideal as I could dream it up as from an Arsenal perspective. We had a wonderful, wonderful weekend in that regard.
As I said, as a Man U fan, if there was any week to have a fucking massive, massive meltdown, at least it was this week of all weeks.
So I've got a question for you, Mark.
Yes.
When is Louis van... Is it Hall? Gall?
You know, it's still up in the air. I like to say it's Hall.
Louis van Gaal.
Because that was the first time I heard his name mentioned was as a Hall.
That's how I heard. So when is he really going to be on the hot seat? Because, you know, like, granted, it's a pretty warm seat as it is.
Right.
But he's not, like, we saw David Moyes, I mean, really got put on the hot seat pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And was under the most intensive scrutiny.
Right.
And you'd have to say, I mean, imagine if David Moyes had started like this last season,
right?
With the players that you've signed this summer, like, I mean, defensive deficiencies at all. I mean, you didn't really sign much last summer. He didn't really get. I mean, look, he got Fellaini in, right? Who else? Who else did you guys get?
Sure.
I mean, look. I mean, let's just look at who.
Good for us.
You know, you spend 150, 200 million pounds, whatever the it fuck was, you guys spent on these players.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I guess
like the bar should be higher, right?
The reality is that Moyes didn't have the credentials, and he was given a championship team. So therefore, the expectation on him to at least win domestically week after week was there, and he simply wasn't. What he showed at the Champions League was resilience. It wasn't what Man U were used to. None of his strategy was what Man U was used to. Players are coming out the woodwork now, criticizing his methods, and even Rio Ferdinand said he had no idea what the hell he was doing.
If you don't have the respect of the dressing room, you're never going to succeed.
Exactly. Why Louis van Gaal has less pressure on him is because now he's inherited a broken team, which is what he keeps liking to reiterate. His name attracts big names, which it's shown in the transfer window. I don't care how smug Ed Woodward wants to present himself as being, but the fact of the matter is, under Moyes, he couldn't do anything for business.
No.
Under van Gaal, he's done 200 million pounds worth of great business as far as attacking goes. There's a caveat, I'm sure, to all you assholes out there. But I think van Gaal's good for about 3 seasons, honestly. He's going to get results. He's going to get us back into the Champions League with this team. I don't see that not happening. It's just three seasons from now.
He's a short-term fix.
3 seasons from now, if there is no trophy in the cabinet, then he goes.
3 seasons from now? Really?
Right. Yeah, he's got 3 seasons.
Well, I mean, I think if there's zero trophies in 2 years, he might go after two.
Yeah, I'm giving him an extra one.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm saying this season, it's acceptable not to have a trophy, but 2 seasons from now, from this season, if he still doesn't have one, then it's time to go.
Yeah, true. I mean, that's fair. Yeah. I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, I mean, if you are failing to succeed at the highest levels, and so, look, I mean, as of right now, obviously, you know, Man United are in the bottom half of the table. I do expect it to change soon. Like, I don't think that we're going to see what happened at Leicester week in, week out. But
I hope not.
I mean, I hope they do.
We made
do.
A lot of assumptions
I hope they
about
do,
the Leicester
but
match.
But I don't. I mean, I don't expect it to happen that way. And
just being a realist here.
Yeah, well, look, like I won't pull any punches. Like, I'm just telling you how I feel it. And that's right. I think there's too much talent on that team now. So, you know, it's going to be similar to Liverpool last year, except for even more hilarious at defending than they were. I mean, look, that Liverpool team did quite fucking well. I mean, they should have won the title, those silly bitches. And then at the end, their defense cost them.
Slippy G.
Slippy G. I love how, man. Joseph, have you seen how bad it is that whoever this runs the social media for the LFC account, like, they're such trolls. They all every time that Liverpool lose, they say they slip to defeat. They've done it multiple times. Like they're like it's someone that's just trolling them, and then you look at the response. It's like, for fuck's sake, why do you have to say
why
do you say slip? Why do you do slip?
Yeah,
and like, that just makes it so much better.
Oh,
it's so much better.
That's brilliant.
That will live forever. The whole season will live forever. That GIF will live forever. It will be.
There is an asterisk on Steven Gerrard's career. There is an asterisk, and that asterisk is motherfucker slipped after screaming at his teammates to not slip.
Yeah.
And metaphorically, he slips literally. it's. You can write a better story than this, and this is why the Premier League is the best league in the world.
I mean, we have another very compelling dose of drama that really, you know, you can't write better storylines than some of these. You know, whether it's your team, whether it's favoring your team or not.
Yeah.
I mean, the drama has certainly been there, and we've seen some amazing entertainment, which really is. I mean, in terms of the intensity and the pace and what you see in the game, even if these squads wouldn't necessarily. All of them would kill it playing at Spanish teams or German teams necessarily, but what we see in the league week in, week out in all of these fixtures is something really compelling, and it's great, and that's why we love it. And that's what, like, if you can show people the neutrals, if you show a neutral here in the States and they watch the United, you know, Leicester match, like, as a neutral, you're like, oh my God, this shit is crazy,
yeah,
and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And how about, look, shout out to Leicester for taking the piss, went up 2 goals in the end. With three back heel, like, there were three nutmegs in a row. I mean, I remember seeing a vine of three nutmegs in a row on, like, when has anybody on any team, Barcelona's never nutmegged three Manchester United players in a row.
No.
Ever. I've never, ever seen that. And a team like fucking Leicester did it. I mean, that was fantastic. I guess that's the only word I have for it, but.
I like to think of it as atrocious, but you know,
atrocious, fantastic, yeah, same, you know, to each their own.
It was a good weekend.
It was a very good weekend. It was a very good weekend, and now we'll get to the week, which has been hasn't been as great, but let's see. Hold on. At least Man United didn't lose in the Capital One Cup this week.
Right, they went undefeated this week.
Undefeated in Capital One Cup matches this week.
Well, it's also something that Man U and Arsenal have in common now.
They will
continue to be undefeated for the rest of the Capital One Cup.
For the rest of the tournament.
Yeah.
Joseph, your thoughts on the match against Southampton?
I thought we actually played pretty well. I think we just didn't take our chances, you know, and we failed kind of in the final third. But I didn't think we played bad. I mean, we all were worried about what that back line would do because they're just incredibly young. And the back four did great. Who knew it would be our senior players to, you know, make two really costly errors. And that's all it took. You know, I mean, one really stupid foul for a penalty allow the equalizer after Sanchez made a free kick, which we're still not used to. So, I mean, I hope there's more to come, but we don't usually top of the box usually just means save or hit into the wall. But Sanchez took a great goal to get us going, and then we don't close a man with the ball. About, I don't know how far he was out, but hell, Klein just hit the shit out of that ball. But there was plenty of time for Jack to close him out and not allow that opportunity to happen. So
you were really mad at Jack.
Yeah, because I watched it. I mean, you know, when you're watching it, it wasn't that he just kind of stopped running. He had time to stop running and retreat to get back in position. And then the shot was taken. I mean, that's how much time he had to really, if he just ran at the player, it probably wouldn't have happened. So, you know, and then that was, I mean, I think there was a few more opportunities for them, you know, because we were trying to push, but.
What did you think of our front line?
Well, I thought Campbell did a couple of things okay, but I don't think he wasn't too effective. I don't think we really played through him that much. You know, I mean, with him and Bellerin on the right side, they don't know how to play with each other. And you could see that, you know, one, they try to overlap and it wouldn't always come off, but Bellerin did a good job. And, I thought Campbell was just okay. I mean, obviously kid hasn't had any matches because the manager doesn't really believe what he can do yet. And then Podolski was normal, right? If a ball had fallen to Podolski, he would have scored. But right. It would have had to have fallen right in front of him.
Well, like people were talking about the big contrast that, like, you know, when you see him playing opposite flank of Sanchez and what they do off the ball and, like, you know, their dynamic movement and all that. And it's like Podolski doesn't offer that same outlet, that same creativity, that same work ethic off the ball that's going to show you what they're going to do to get themselves open, right? Podolski will run and stand next to a defender, and he won't like be working his ass off to try to separate himself and get space or pull defenders out of position.
But we've seen him combine well on the left side if he has someone there to combine with. He has done it for us. He did it for us the last two seasons. But in this particular match, there's no one to do that. You know, I mean, Coquelin. I mean, he went forward a couple of times, but he stayed back pretty often. And I just don't think we really played to that side very much either. So,
yeah, I mean, there was probably a reason why we didn't play that side so much. Just one, because Coquelin hasn't been near the first team for a year and a half, and
right.
And then you have Podolski, who also still rarely gets within the starting squad. So there's zero understanding on the left-hand side. And you have someone dynamic like Alexis Sanchez, at least has at least one game's worth of understanding with Bellerin on the right. And, yeah, I mean, it's not too surprising. Do you have any words about my boy Francis that deputized at left back? I thought he had a good, decent account for himself.
Yeah, he was fine. I mean, he always does just okay. I mean, he always does okay. He's just not, you know, better than the other options we usually have available. But he's a fine young player. I mean, I don't know why he really hasn't found another opportunity somewhere. Permanently.
You really don't think that, I mean, because obviously apparently I'm one of the only ones who might rather see him at defensive mid than maybe a guy like Flamini.
I just think he's too small. And he doesn't have, I mean, if he's too small and doesn't have great pace, but he doesn't have good pace either.
I feel like you gotta look at him more like a McAuley style, like just a little tackler. I don't know. I mean, the thing is that he's not what everyone's crying out for the position, right? Until we sign the 6'3"
midfielder. If he could make better passes from those positions, then he'd have a shot. But he doesn't have that really either. So I mean, that's just He's just not.
I don't think he's actually. I think he pulls off some pretty good long range passing. But for what we're looking for, you got to be able to pull off really high completion rates of those kind of passes. Right. So having it within your arsenal to be able to have that, you know, to be able to make that ball, that's great. Most players that come to Arsenal do. We sign a lot of players that have really great technique because that's something that we really value. But, you know, what makes the difference? What separates, you know, these guys from the rest? Like, why is it that ZLM is such a highly rated prospect if we've got a lot of players who can make that pass? But how often can they do that? How consistently can they do that? It makes a big difference there. And I think that's where that might be one of those areas. Because I feel like Coquelin is able to do a lot of things really well, but he just doesn't always do them as well as he can. And that's
right. And he's like I said, that's why I'm surprised he hasn't found somewhere else to play, yeah. You know, really, because he's good. He's not really great at any one thing. He's a good player. And
yeah.
And
he seems like a guy who could be a standout player on a mid table team.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like
that's why he's not gone.
He could be a star. He could turn himself into a star, like a West Ham in the Premier League.
A John Joe Shelby.
Yeah,
I suppose
that's a valid comparison.
Yeah, I mean John Joe Shelby. You know, he went somewhere to get his minutes, and he's a legit, you know, dangerous Premier League player. You know,
right.
Could have started a top four team. No, I mean just like when we talked about watching Cleverley play for West Ham. It seems it fits.
Yeah,
he. Yeah, Cleverley can be a good player on West Ham. He could be one of the best players on West Ham. That is perfectly within his reach.
Right.
I agree. But, yeah, I mean, you know, that's a great comparison. No one
has ever said that he is completely shit. Right. It's just when people were like, no, he's better than Wilshere. No, he's going to be the future of Manchester United and England and all that. Where do you see something that makes him better, you know, on a step above? And it just never really showed
me. There were a few prayers that God received from United fans that he'd be the next Scholes.
Including you?
I never thought he was capable.
Okay.
Yeah, I never thought he
was capable. Yeah, I suppose I didn't know you well. Well, I didn't know you back when he was being bled in.
Right, or even when he had his good season in 2012. So.
Yeah, I still didn't think he played that well, but I guess when your team wins the title, there aren't going to be too many guys you have a problem with, right?
The difference is he had the confidence to move to go forward more.
Right.
That's literally where the line was drawn, because last season and this season, with what little we had of him, he was just a crab just going side to side. That was it.
Yeah,
that
he didn't have it. Like, his Danielson and the kind of guy like
– He caught the Danielson.
Yeah, he absolutely did. He is.
I heard that's sexually transmitted.
Yeah, about that. Yeah. Oh, the Danielson.
The Danielson.
Yeah, but like you said, you know, this looks like this is where his level is, and he can excel there. He certainly can, and I wouldn't doubt. You know, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Maybe even good enough to eventually get a recall in the England squad, but I don't think it'll ever. He's never going
to
be a first choice player for England.
He's just not.
I mean,
in a friendly against like Slovenia, you know, what's that? San Marino.
San Marino is the team that everybody. Sorry, San Marinans.
Yeah,
San Marinoians.
I wish we could get to know you guys better, but for now, you're going to have to be known as the team that, the only team that England can thrash.
Yeah, it's that. So, you know, San Marino, Luxembourg, little islands. It's just, yeah, it's not fair.
Yeah. So, but it's a shame that we're out of the competition. And for just like for the reasons you said, I just wish that we could give those fringe players these games, and they're not going to get it. And we don't have the squad, quality of squad to, I don't believe, compete in those four competitions.
Yeah.
But I kind of almost, I wish that we could have stayed in this one just because the kids would have got time.
Yeah, even if it was only like two more rounds. You just want them to get a couple or, you know, two or three games. I mean, you know, we've seen a lot from other players. Like some years we've been exposed to seeing young players, and like players do have breakout moments, you know, like even if they're false dons. It was enjoyable watching Carlos Vela score a hat trick, you know, against Southampton was one of them, right? You know, like, yeah. You know, we've seen some ridiculous goals and great skills and things from young players. And it's like, it's enjoyable to have a few of those games, even if it's two or three.
Absolutely.
You know, and as Arsenal fans, I don't think I was regularly watching the Premier League the last time. I mean, in terms of on television.
Right.
Because it now wasn't. But I'm saying the last time Arsenal lost in the third round of the Capital One Cup or the League Cup. Was what, 2001? It was like 2001 or 2002, something like that. Uh-huh. And it's like, you know, the United States, we didn't have Premier League matches on week in, week out. You know, like, we didn't have the access to all these matches. You couldn't be like, oh, I'm going to watch. I always get to watch my team in the morning. Not at all.
Right.
You know, the rarely, you know, you could watch matches, but it wasn't nowhere near that kind of selection.
No. I mean, until NBC bought the rights.
Yeah, until they really did it. I mean, because, I mean, the Premier League, if you follow a big team. You know, once we had the Fox Soccer Chat and all that, that's when you really got
Setanta.
Yeah, the Setanta days.
Yeah,
The Setanta days. Remember the Champions League being on there? All that. Yeah.
How odd is that? You know, I don't know if Joseph knows where I'm from, but where I'm from, that shit is on prime time. You know, it's in all the newspapers, and to come to America and not have it so readily available. You can imagine how a junkie feels when he has to go cold turkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's weird. But now it's good. I'm happy. I don't care. I have to wake up at 5.
Well, I mean, it's crazy now. I mean, yeah. we actually have like the best access in terms of television, like in terms of all the games that you can access through what we have.
My iPad plays.
Yep. No, it is quite fantastic now.
Yeah.
Fox to go.
Absolutely.
Crap. And the NBC one, which is great, which I still can't believe Fox are charging. Well, I can believe that Fox are charging for it. I can certainly believe that.
Yeah.
NBC offer it, you know, if you have the channel, you know, if you have NBC Sports, you through your cable provider, then you have access to it, which I think is a wonderful way to do it. And it's fantastic. And the streams work great and all that, you know, that. And it has worked so seamlessly since they took over the Premier League last year.
Yes.
VN needs to step up on their streams. I watched that. I watched yesterday's match. It was choppy as hell on VN's.
Yeah. It doesn't seem.
Flawless,
yeah, NBC yeah, has really like. Flawless. I've had no problems with it really.
Oh, I've had none. It's been great.
Yeah. But I'm with you, man. Dude, I was super pissed. Like that was how I planned on watching the Madrid derby, and the stream didn't work. Okay. Though it was down for everyone that entire time. It was down.
Well, that's why the server. That's why
they tweeted about it and all that.
You get a WYSIWYG for that.
But I feel like WYSIWYG was probably getting that stream from BN. The BN stream
they
was down.
They get it from Russia.
Oh, okay.
You don't get it in English, unfortunately.
Well, I know you don't get it in
but
English.
But you get an HD stream.
Right.
Yeah, a flawless HD stream, which makes up for it. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't stream like that at work. I got to go through a normal channel.
At work? On a Saturday?
No, like yesterday. Like BN yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I've used the BN Connect and all that, and it's been pretty good. The only time it was just that other week, and it was the Madrid derby, and it was like, you know, it was the first time. I mean, they're finally doing it regularly, but it seemed like a match that was going to have a lot of, you know, pretty high volume of people watching it. But yeah. it definitely was down and was not working, and that was a big fail. You know, like
terrible.
That's just like that was the way I was going to watch the match. I had it all set up, and like you know, I didn't have BN where I was, but I could log into, you know, to my access since I have it at home, and. Then I didn't get to watch it. So
I don't even have BN at home, so unfortunately, I don't
know.
Yeah,
that's a shame. It's great. You know, I don't know. Do you guys both enjoy listening to guys like Ray Hudson?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like
I'm fine with him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, like, I don't necessarily want to hear him every time I'm listening to a match, but, you know, getting his, getting his vernacular and all that is quite enjoyable. And it's fun hearing
him. I wish I could hear Derek Ray every weekend. I really miss Derek Ray. I'd love listening to him call a game.
Yeah, they'll be smart when if he gets signed on. He's got to get back on the commentary team for one of these, the next Euro Cup or something that.
He was partnering Macca for a while now.
Yeah.
Yeah, during the World Cup.
Yeah, during the World Cup. He's an ESPN guy, so that's risk.
Yeah, but he's got to get back on like week in, week out, Champions League and stuff that we hear.
Is he only on ESPN then?
Yeah.
Yeah, and
he does some international stuff.
Like not here.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a pity. He's an amazing commentator, that's for sure.
Yeah, but he's still, I think we'll still hear some matches from him, so that'll be good.
Yeah, I hope to. And that is another reason why the Premier League is the best league in the world.
Why is that?
Commentators.
Yeah, they're good. I'm pretty happy with the fact that they haven't done too much. I mean, we're getting Arlo White with some quite decent co-commentators for the NBC stuff for those highlighted games.
Like Arlo White.
I don't have a problem with Arlo White, which is perfectly okay with me. Yeah. Is he my favorite? No, but does he do? He does a good job.
Great job.
Man. He does a very good job. So you don't have to love every single person who doesn't be your
favorite. We've had Lee Dixon quite a bit.
Yeah, they do it kind of. They occasionally kind of do it with the matchup where they've had an Arsenal guy. We think of it with Lee Dixon because we've been watching Arsenal, but then they'll do it with an ex-Chelsea player,
right?
In a Chelsea match, and so it's pretty smart. I think they've had some interesting choices, and we've seen some good commentary. So I've got no problem with that. And then you get all the rest of the matches from the normal feed that we're used to hearing. So
right.
We still have those voices that we're used to, and they're great. So. Yeah.
Very happy. Very happy with the broadcasting in America right now.
Yeah, so we're set up pretty well.
Considering I lived here 8 years, and it's taken it 6 years to get a good broadcast of football, it's quite depressing. But at the same time, now it's fantastic.
All right, so what comes up for United the weekend?
Oh, my God, I haven't even checked.
You haven't even checked?
No, I've been so depressed.
You're so depressed. I can understand that feeling. It doesn't feel good when you have I don't want to think about football for a few days. I want to let everything go after a bad defeat like that. I just don't want to think about it.
I agree.
Better off.
Let's
talk a little about the North London Derby then, Joseph. How are you feeling going into the Spurs match?
Nervous. I don't know. It's not that I don't think that we're better than them, and I don't think they're not playing well. They don't have a lot of confidence. But it's North London Derby, and when you'd play okay like we did against Southampton, we played okay. Obviously, we weren't rotated, but I mean, with the front line and the midfield, I don't know. I think we can really tear them apart. I really do, but it's North London Derby, so I just don't. I'm just worried about it. I'd hate to be this one of the ones where they pull a Danny Rose out of their fucking ass.
Yeah, but I understand the cause for concern, and that certainly could happen. But I think it's one of those years like you said it, like we look better on paper. It's a game that we can certainly win. I think we'll be disappointed if we don't win. I mean I guess that's always the case, but in particular, as opposed to other years, Spurs have had some pretty good teams. This is not one of the best Spurs teams we've seen in the past few years.
Yeah, they have a new manager. He doesn't know his best 11 yet. He keeps moving players all around because he hasn't found it yet.
I have confidence that he'll eventually find that team. Will that team be good enough?
No, they'll be good. They'll be good enough to be Tottenham. They'll be good enough to finish. Look, we laugh about it, but. Yeah. True. If a club can continuously finish in, say, fifth or sixth place, which is, say, that's their average finish.
They're making a ton of money.
They're making a ton of money, and they're doing a pretty damn good job of staying right there. You're a solid, strong team if you can maintain a top six finish.
And at any moment, season, and all of a sudden you're in the Champions League.
Right.
Unfortunately, the few good seasons they had, they missed out on it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they had that 1 year. They had that one year, and that was it.
That was it. That was their chance.
Yep, and they couldn't even keep it another year because, yeah. I mean, honestly, the strain of having Champions League,
yeah,
like took so much out of them next season. They just didn't have it. They didn't have the same chance.
They missed their window. They had their window of opportunity, really, to get there and try to keep. To they got that fourth place, but to really keep it, that window's closed for them. They're going to be fifth, sixth, seventh. Right. We already know if they have an outstanding player or two, they're gone. I mean,
probably.
We literally just saw it. So I think their window is gone. I think they're just going to continue in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth position for quite a while.
What do you mean? Christian Eriksen's not going to dominate the league from now
on? Well, he'll be gone next year.
If he does, he'll go, though, because then he'll be snipped up from a team from the tier above them. You know,
I still say he was a bargain, no matter how you swing it.
Look, a lot of people are fans of Christian Eriksen, and I'm certainly not a detractor. I think he's a very good player. Yeah. I think he has probably the highest potential of any of the... Well, I don't know. Lamela is quite a good player, too, even though he hasn't shown it on a consistent basis.
After watching him in the World Cup, I just think he's... Just a show off,
Well, he is a show off. Yeah. But I mean, he's got some real skill though. Mm-hmm. He's got some real skill, and I feel like he can put it together effectively. But no, if you maybe pick one player from that whole squad, like Christian Eriksen is probably the best player that they have at the moment.
Yeah.
And they're a solid squad. They're a solid squad. Yeah. Hugo Lloris is a very good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But you know, they tend to fall prey to quite a few shots, and he's also I don't know if he's the greatest at commanding his line.
No.
Here's what we just need to do: we score early, and they'll fold.
Absolutely.
We just need to score early, so they will fold.
Score three goals in 3 minutes.
You hope so, but then again, Tottenham isn't Leicester.
No, they're not. Yeah, they don't have that kind of drive.
Right.
Yeah, and
they're not a cohesive unit right now. They really aren't.
I mean, they go through a lot of turnover. You know, there's a lot of players come in and out of those doors. I mean, look at how many players they signed last year, and how many of those are big factors this year.
They signed a bunch more than even last summer.
Yeah, I mean, there's such a huge rotation. It's a bit ridiculous.
It is.
So yeah, I mean, this is not one of their greatest squads that they've had, and they're certainly dangerous. They're certainly dangerous, and it's not a match we can take lightly. You know, North London Derby can always mean a lot, but I think we're going to get it done. So, there's a few other interesting matches though this weekend. There is the Liverpool Derby.
Oh, the Merseyside.
That should be wide open. I guess there's going to be six, seven goals. I would expect out of that.
Too bad it's at 4:45 a.m. on my Saturday morning.
I'll probably watch half of it.
Yeah. I'll try and wake up. I will. I'll try to wake up by
5:30.
I swear to the football gods, I'll try and wake up for this.
Yeah, well, we gotta get up and ready for it, Joseph. We got a North London Derby to follow. So you
at 9:30, five hours later.
Right. This is true, but you know, you gotta get up and get ready for these things.
Yeah, that's true. Stretch.
Limber up.
But I mean, overall, I think Everton might fall prey to Liverpool's offense. It's 2-2, nice and even.
Is it a Goodison Park or is it Anfield?
It's at Anfield.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna go with
Everton's been screwing up at home.
They have been, but you know, I think they just came off a disappointing result. I think they might have had the
Are they gonna pull in Arsenal is my question.
Arsenal in the cup or Arsenal?
No, when they played earlier in the season.
Right. Yeah. What kind of performance are we going to see? Exactly. I mean, I think they have it in them. I think they're going to take it to Liverpool. And Liverpool right now, like, without those goals in their team, I mean, I don't know. I suppose at striker right now, I would put it a wash for this match just because, you know, Balotelli versus Lukaku, both very good players. Neither one's super consistent, but Lukaku's looked good. He scored recently. He scored in the last match. He's developing a bit of form.
Right.
But I mean, he's never been all the way up there in the super elite bracket. So, but I don't know. Everton are capable of a lot. They're coming off a bad result. I think they're going to bounce back. So
Liverpool have lost two now in a row. I say they lose their third. I like it. And they melt down. But I like a 2-2 result. If I were a betting man, I would say 2-2. But I would love to see Liverpool have their official meltdown of three in a row.
If I were betting on a match like this, I would say I'd go with a score draw. Certainly. Yeah. And you would think there's going to be four goals in it, if not six.
I think six. What,
say, right? You think
3-3?
Oof. Yeah. No, I'm thinking of 4-2.
Ooh. Okay. And
just because I hate Liverpool,
I think it's going to be like the first of three wins
for Everton.
Well,
oh, for Liverpool.
No, I just mean like that. That's the kind of game it's going to be. It's going to be just kind of a shootout between them. I don't think the defense is that solid on either side at the moment. So,
first 2-3. Sorry, yeah. I misheard you.
But yeah, so I'll back Everton to make a little upset.
Everybody wants Everton, I think, in this, except Liverpool. And okay, so United
are going up against an in-form West Ham,
red hot West Ham. And if you had asked me 2 weeks ago if I was worried, I would have said, "Hell no!" But
on the back of beating the mighty Liverpool,
2 weeks later, West Ham with Ener Valencia showing grit. The same kind of grit, maybe less so than Leicester, but a similar kind of grit that Leicester
had. A working man's grit. A walrus kind of grit.
The type of grit that...
Embodying the spirit of their spirit animal manager.
The type of grit that gives Morrissey his voice.
It's going to be another 4-2. It's 4-2.
Another 4-2 to United.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that. I'm not as optimistic. You know what? I say we balance out the last 2 weeks and we go for a nice clean 2-0.
Wow. That would be an accomplishment.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 3-1 United.
3-1 United. Wow. Both of you. Look at that. Giving me something to cheer about here.
I mean, look, it really wouldn't surprise me if this ended up a score draw as well.
Right.
Just because you're too leaky at the back. And I do feel that... West Ham could have two goals in them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the talent you have on the pitch, you should be able to score at least two goals, if not more, against West Ham.
It's almost expected that we score.
You should. I mean, with the talent you have out there, you should be able to score a few goals. And especially, right. This team doesn't overly convince me of being a fantastic defensive team. So I think you should be able to at least put a few past them. So, but really the question is how well can your defense perform?
Right.
Like that's the real question. Can you guys hold out less than two goals? You know, like
I sure hope so.
So that's the hope. I mean, I think that I don't know if that really this West Ham team is not that good.
Yeah,
and they're not going to get that many results like they did like Liverpool last week.
It's true.
So to ask them to do that week in week out, I mean, yeah, it could be form. They could be hitting stride. It could happen, but
they're away.
I mean, they're not. You know, you don't think that it's real,
right?
So yeah, I got a little faith in United this week. We'll see how they do. I would love to be wrong.
I think other than that, some compelling matchups include Crystal Palace, Leicester, both coming off big comeback victories.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody cares about these guys.
Sunderland, Swansea, I like. And Hull, Man City. Oh, actually, sorry. Chelsea, Aston Villa, I like that.
Chelsea-Villa could be interesting. Really interesting. That could be interesting.
Yeah,
Chelsea could have their hands full if Aston Villa have gotten over whatever the bug was that hit them last week. And that lightning attack, rapier-like attack from Arsenal that tore them to shreds.
Please.
So we'll see what Chelsea can do. I think I'd still pick Chelsea to win that match. I think the tide might have turned for Villa. You know, like second place was never going to be real for them. You know, so like it's a team that will lose more. You know, will lose more than once in a row. You know, several times in the season. They're just not like a fantastic team. They've been playing very well so far, but you know, like what are their real aspirations to finish the season? I mean, like, are they obviously the longer they could stay in the top four area, you keep that in the conversation. But you know, it's some of these measurements that we do by money like do matter because the teams have more talent and it's just a different kind of caliber. And so,
I mean, I think they'd be lucky to finish within the top 10. That would be
really,
yeah.
Villa,
yeah.
I don't think it's outlandish to have them finishing in the top 10. I think it'd be pretty. I would pick them if you had to tell me if they're going to finish the top half of the table, or the bottom half of the table. I'd pick them to finish the top half of the table.
I think that who rounds it up, let's say the the top seven remained the top seven of last season, if we had an identical result, who would round the last 10 would be Southampton, Swansea, and maybe, you know, I can't think of a third team right now, but maybe even West Ham ahead of Aston Villa, because they do have the attacking prowess now, at least.
What does anyone know when Benteke comes back?
No idea.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's long term. I know he's not like on the verge of returning, so it's still, yeah, it's still a little ways away. Right. But I mean, they put it. Look, they were in second place. They're still in third place in the league right now. You know, they're sitting pretty.
Yeah.
It's a very good start to the season.
Yeah.
Will it last? No, but they could probably stay in the mix. I mean, they could even potentially be in the race for top four, for, you know, until, yeah, they could still be in the race for top four until at least after Christmas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so they can give a run for it, and who knows what they can do. I mean, look, they pushed us for fourth a few years back, and it looked really dodgy come the end, but they just didn't have the depth of squad to really deal with a tough schedule coming the end of the year, and sucked them up.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is. But so we got some compelling matches. Arsenal to
Spurs.
To Spurs. Let's get our predictions. Joseph, going to you straight up, what's going to happen?
2-0. Arsenal. Welbeck, brace.
Oh.
All right.
It sounded realistic up till that point, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that Mark's going to give us the exact same prediction. Mark, what? How do you think it's all going to go?
I think
down?
You're going to thrash them.
That'd be nice.
I think you're going to go out and you're going to thrash them. Maybe 3-0.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
All right.
Back-to-back 3-0. Or 3-1. I'll stick with a 3-0, though.
Okay. Okay. Anyone in particular you think, I mean, if you're not going to name all the goal scorers, who do you think will get on the score sheet?
I think Sanchez is going to get on the score sheet again.
Sanchez!
Yeah. Why the hell not?
Alexis.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
And
why
and,
not Alexis
and,
score?
Zalalem.
Gideon Zalalem? No, yeah. he is. He will not be playing. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. Cool.
I like it. I think we're gonna get a win. I don't know if it's gonna be. I mean, I feel like there's a chance for a blowout, and that'd be fantastic. But I think it'll still be tight.
All right.
2-1 to the Arsenal.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, nervy. Thanks.
Yeah, I know.
Look forward to that.
I have no faith in the scoring ability of the Spurs. So.
I know that they can still score a goal or two, and like we showed earlier this week that we can give away a goal or two.
How much did they lose to Liverpool by? 4-0. Yeah, I mean, the fact is, we have a Liverpool team here that's very fallible, and coming off a loss to Man City, and they still can't even manage a goal against them. You know.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think it should be a win. I'm just not going to get ahead of myself. I think they're going to do pretty well, though. Like, I think we'll handle this. I think we'll get the win, and we'll make a good statement. I do feel that way. You know, as long as we, you know, as long as it's not one of those days where the rub of the green just doesn't go our way.
Mm.
You know, where everything goes.
Which
wrong.
It does happen, guys. I don't know if you know this.
It does happen to all of us.
It happens,
and there'd be plenty of people that would be happy to see us eat a turd sandwich after the week where all of their teams lost. So
I'm not trying to point any fingers here, but me.
No, but everybody else. Yeah. Everybody else. Yeah, you know, like yeah.
They're like, no, Arsenal, you need to join in this.
Hold
misery.
On, Arsenal. You need a nice shit burger as well. Yeah. So here, swallow this turd fucking spud pie. No, thank you. So I hope we avoid this. And I think we'll leave it there. So to a wonderful Arsenal victory at the weekend. We'll see if United can get back on track. There is also, for those of you here in LA, possibly Thierry Henry's last match ever in Los Angeles will be Sunday for the Red Bulls against the LA Galaxy. So, and I think I will be out there. We'll see if Joseph's out there and a bunch of other people, a lot of LA Gooners and people from San Diego as well will all be there.
Sounds like a bunch of turds.
A bunch of, yeah. turd sandwich of wonderful Gooners. No, good people, though. And we'll be out there for the match to see Henry in potentially his last match in LA. So get out there, check out the Galaxy against there, and join us for some merriment. Anyways, you can follow these fine fellows on Twitter. You can follow Mark at Cuninho88 and Joseph at I Hate Your Club. I'll leave it there and talk to you guys soon. That's good.
All right. Have a good one.